And we're back.
We're back. You noticed that too. Been a while.
It really, really has. And I cannot tell you how excited I am that we're actually getting this thing back together, because I missed it.
Man. It's time. It's time to get it back, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, for those of you listening, this is the reboot, the new Scary Dad podcast. Second verse, same as the first. We're not changing formats or doing anything different. We just found time, or we made time, because finding time became difficult.
Yes, we're making ourselves make time, because we definitely missed it and need to start bringing out just all these crazy stories and dealings that we got going on to you all.
So for those of you who this might be your first episode, we've got pretty close to 200 episodes prior to this one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We left off kind of in the middle of some of the COVID chaos. We had a series of global issues that, you know, trickled down into some personal issues. And
like, a lot of shit has happened since the last time we recorded, when you think about it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Damn. Right? I mean, just to say when last we left you, Russia was not exactly an ally, but we weren't on the verge of nuclear war.
Yeah.
Back then, just like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Wow. So, you want to let everybody know what you've been up to, and then I'll fill in on where I've been.
What's weird is, like, right now, currently, the reason I keep picking up my phone is Comic Palooza is still driving me crazy, which is interesting. Of course, with it being 4 days away from this record, I got to start in 2 days. Just now, we're getting everything finalized and hammered out. I haven't heard from these people in months, and all of a sudden, hey, we got to do this, we got to do that. Other than that, though, just fucking new career path, just all into the event business now, especially working from home pretty much all the time, totally left corporate America. It's been a crazy time. I mean, I'm about, what, 8 tattoos in since the last time we recorded. It's been a wild ride over the past couple of years. But everybody's doing good, kids are doing great, but just staying busy and letting life take me where it wants to take me right now. So
that's awesome. I mean, same thing. I had when last we spoke, so I had left my old job, and my old job was not horrible, but it was winding down. So basically, towards the end of 2019 or early 2020, before the pandemic hit, we were notified that, well, this was a little earlier on, maybe 2018 or something, there was a merger, and inside of that merger, the new overlords, they said it where if you read between the lines, you knew where they were going. But basically, they're an international organization that didn't have an on-ground sales team anywhere but the U.S. And so they figured if they were successful outsourcing their sales team everywhere else, that would be the goal in the next 5 to 7 years. So they made me an offer. So those of us who have been around for a while, they made us an offer, and I took that offer. This was March of 2020. So right before the end of the world happened, I took a severance and left my job of almost 17 years. And then homeschooled the kids, made some sourdough bread, lived through the pandemic. We still were doing podcasting back then. As best we could with all the quarantine stuff going on. And then in January of 21, I started working for another company with a similar position to the one I'd had before. And it was supposed to be a dream job. I mean, the pay was good, the benefits were good, you know, the product itself was one of those things that just sells itself, a lot of market power. Big name in the industry. And every single moment of the day sucked ass so bad. I was exhausted. I was hitting the streets around 5 a.m. I was getting home sometime around 4 to hop on conference calls that lasted sometimes till 6 or 7, you know, 12, 13-hour days, then getting harassed because I wasn't logging the time properly because, you know, even though you're working 13 hours, only 6 of them counted, even right. though I'm not hourly. So you'd have to make up your time somewhere, which is ridiculous. So I, like many people, you think, okay, well, I'm new. It's growing pains. I was used to my old job. So maybe I'm the one that's,
maybe this is how it's supposed to be.
Maybe this is how right. everybody else lives. And I'll just, you know, go through the growing pains and whatever. It didn't get better. It just simply got worse. Mm-hmm. Got worse. I got home. I was too tired. Scheduling for podcasting would never show up. You know, no, I used to write late at night because that's when the kids went to bed and I'd get a chance to, you know, write either articles or stories. And I was just hitting the door and hitting the sheets and then waking up and doing it again I was miserable. So in 22, I left that company and picked up a new gig that is the complete opposite. Again, similar role to what I've had before, but the company's awesome. The people are awesome. It's a smaller company, so there's a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of upward mobility. There's a lot of room for creativity. If you have an idea, instead of being kind of condescendingly told, like, whatever, that's not your job, they say, okay, cool, send me a proposal and let's get it done. You know, and so that really helped. So now I'm working a regular schedule each day and being able to hang out with the kids and have time again for some creative ventures, hence the Scary Dad podcast reboot.
Right.
We're back. So
isn't it greatly liberating to get to that point with career? Like, just like with me now, for the past 2 years, I've just been working for myself as a contract employee to people, which is nice. It sucks because I don't have insurance benefits, and when you pay taxes, it all comes out at one time. But other than that, it's really, really liberating, and it's amazing to have that stress lifted from your life. It's like that feeling that chick had in Drag Me to Hell when she finally got rid of that fucking button, and you just got to make sure that, you know, your boyfriend Justin Long doesn't give it back to you.
Doesn't pick it up. Carry it. Hey, you dropped this. No, for sure. And, you know, for what it's worth, even though we weren't hanging out and recording shows, we have seen each other in events,
yeah,
and we're friends on Facebook.
We're keeping in touch and everything.
We've been, you know, throwing each other the silly and scary memes and talking about, you know, what's going on. We've gone out and seen some movies and some shows and stuff. So
I was actually trying to explain to Melissa, my girlfriend, who I'm actually, the last time I spoke, I think I was planning on still forever being single, but I'm not anymore. I was telling her the day, she was like, you're always on social media. I said, yeah, me and my friends just send stupid memes to each other. Me and my friends and my kids, that's all we do all day.
Yeah.
Just send stupid memes to each other.
Yeah,
I don't send them to you because they're terrible.
So funny thing. I'm on a couple of different meme groups. So, like, you and I will throw stuff back and forth, and then sometimes I'll take some of those and throw them to these other guys.
You send me stuff, then I'm sending to Andy, I'm sending to Mark, yeah, I'm sending to John. It's a vicious cycle, man. So
I started sending some to my brother-in-law and Terrence and a couple other folks. And we were at my sister's house the other day, and She like totally dressed me down. She's like, I see the stuff that you say. You're horrible.
He's breaking code a little bit.
And I'm thinking, like, if you think That's bad. Like, remember that scene in Clerks where he's like, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself for cussing, and he opens the porno mag, and he's like, check that out. You can see your kidneys, you know? You think that's offensive. But, yeah, it's you know, I do, we live in a strange world with social media and keeping up with the Joneses and all that stuff. But when it really boils down, I've got another funny one to tell you in a sec. But when it really boils down to it, you know, it kind of brings you together because, you know, you're like, oh, this is an odd photo of some, oh my God, what is that? Oh, yeah. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's a way of interacting with people. It's a way of interacting with people that kind of fits in today's lifestyle where you don't have a whole lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a way of saying, hey, I was thinking about you, and I thought you'd think this ridiculously stupid shit would be funny. Because I know you so well.
So, it was a few months ago. So when my daughter started junior high, and the junior high schedule is like an hour and a half later than the elementary school schedule. So I got two kids going to two different schools at two different times. And so it's kind of hard to coordinate. So we were telling Jay that she had to ride the bus. And she doesn't want to ride the bus. But that's really the only, I mean, it is what it is. But she's trying and trying to figure out ways to not have to ride the bus. And so I get home one day and I'm on one of these meme groups and people are sending stuff and I'm scrolling and laughing and forwarding them to you and stuff like that. And my wife comes in, she's like, okay, we got to talk about the whole bus situation. I said, well, what's the problem with the bus situation? She says, well, she's on the bus. She's one of only two girls among a whole bunch of boys. And all the boys do is sit around talking about their penis. And I look at my wife and I look down at the phone in my hand and back up at her, and I say, well, that's never going to stop.
It doesn't change.
It's not going to stop. So we have to figure out something. Because, yep, that's just how dudes are. So, but yeah, so I have been, again, kind of nose to the grindstone. I know you've been active in the events world and the movie-going world. You're going to all these premieres and stuff. So what's the best bunch of stuff you've seen recently? What's good? What's going to get me caught up so I have to go out and...
Okay, so, of course, I mean, there's been some great weird, wacky horror stuff that came out lately. Of course, Cocaine Bear is a really, really fun movie. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, I actually enjoyed a lot. Because it was just, it was a great storyline. You know, you remember how you and I, we've talked said a million times. A movie can be fucking terrible. As long as I'm having fun with it, I'm mm-hmm. all in. And just like Zombievers, which is an example we used to use all the time. And Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey kind of falls in that category.
They're apparently making a sequel.
I know. They're making a sequel, and I think it's also going to be branching off into other free use literary works, which is always a good thing to use. Of course, Evil Dead Rise is a great movie. It's a great sequel. To me, Evil Dead 2 is always going to be the best of the series.
It seems like with the newer Evil Deads, and I haven't seen the new one, but they're going more for the scare than the comedy.
Right.
They're more serious horror films as opposed to the, you know, the hand jumping around.
Yeah, it's not Sam Raimi has a certain style, you know? It's just the way he does movies. And you can see the same style with everything he does, even with the Spider-Man movies that he did. Just visually, it's a different, totally different type of movie and stuff. But all in all, the entire horror genre is just, once again, it's still going through that resurgence it's been going through for a couple of years, and it's the momentum isn't slowing down at all. You know, it's still going pretty fucking strong.
That's awesome.
I'm really ready for Maxine, the final part of the trilogy by Ty West and A24, which those movies are amazing. I mean, those. Have you seen X and then Pearl?
I haven't.
Dude, those movies are incredible, dude. They really, and it's kind of, it's very similar to with Rob and the Devil's Rejects trilogy. You know, House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil Rejects, two totally different types of movies. And if you look at X and then Maxine, they're two totally different types of movies. But they both, the types of movies that they are, they work really, really well. So I really can't wait to see what he does with the third part, Maxine. That's going to be really interesting to see.
Sweet.
But Pearl is just an amazing movie, dude. I'm sitting there watching it, and we're like, this is like The Wizard of Oz. And it was so amazing how many... You could see references between The Wizard of Oz and Pearl that was going on. I mean, just all kind of just weird shit that just... I kept waiting for it to break out in song. It was just... It was filmed... It was like filmed in Technicolor and everything. It was just a really, really crazy film. But it was good. I mean, he's been doing an excellent job. He's... You know, he's up there with Blumhouse and the rest of them at this point.
That's
so
badass. Yeah, the only thing... Because, again, I've just been... With the kids and work, getting home, doing what I need to do, you know, kind of early to bed, early to rise. I have really kind of somewhat boring existence. I mean, I just don't, I haven't, well, I'll tell you what the big elephant in the room is Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, it's Melissa's son actually is, she was in line that night waiting for to pick up her copy at GameStop.
So this is, it's funny. It's funny, haha, and it's funny, ironic. But see, we never... I was never a gamer. So when I was a kid, you know, everybody had the Nintendo, the Power System, and Mario, and Legend of Zelda, and all that, you know, back in the 80s. And I liked them, and I played them, but I was not obsessed with them like some kids were. I was reading Stephen King and, you know, being not... connected to video games. I like to go to the pool and stuff. But I've played on most systems. I've played some games. I'm familiar with them as they went. My friends were real big into Street Fighter back in the day, you know, whatever. So this year for Christmas, we decided to get the girls a Switch. We decided to get the girls a Switch because I don't care about video games and neither does my wife. And we're getting the girls... something they can play Mario Kart on and have fun with their friends. Well, recommendation for the best games to get that are the most bang for buck and the most interesting and fun, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was one of the ones that was recommended. And it came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with this game, it is an open world game. So you can run all over the place. You can get on boats, you can climb on mountains, you can go into holes, you can hang out in a village forever. Like, you can just set up shop and just chill. Like, you literally build a house to live in inside this game. And so, my older daughter, Jay, Juliet, and I started playing Zelda. And she and I were kind of, you know, because it's a one-player game, so, like, I would play, and I'd beat a monster, and I'd learn how to do it, and then I'd show her how to do it, and then she started getting... Well, enter Meg. She gets a hold of Zelda. She plays it for about 20 minutes, says, I don't think I like this game. It's a little hard. Plays it for another 20 minutes, and it's like, I don't know, like crack. Like, third puff, lifer. She's just like... She's in it. So I get completely left behind. My wife and my daughter are hitting this game up by the hour, like hours and hours. Weekends. Like, are we doing anything this weekend? Like, I don't think we have anything planned. Cool. Zelda. So the TV has been, like, in any kind of waking moments has been dedicated to Zelda. Straight up. That's what's been going on. Meg and Juliet both beat it. They both, like, went through this entire huge open world concept game that's designed to last for years, and they beat it in, like, 4 months. To the point where my wife's and I's 15-year anniversary was the day before our anniversary was the day that the new Zelda came out. And she had said she wanted some nice perfume, like some Chanel. And I was planning to go to the store, to Macy's, and buy the Chanel for her birthday, or for our anniversary. But I was working, so I stopped into a Target, and I saw a line, and I was like, huh, I wonder what the line is for. And then I had a choice to make. Because does she really want perfume?
Or does she appreciate
or will she appreciate? And so, dude, Zelda has been like, and now they're arguing over, like, whose turn it is to play. It's hilarious. They're, like, a bunch of, like, 8-year-old boys in 85. Like, it's my turn. It's my turn. It's hilarious. But, yeah, so a lot of, like, a lot of that stuff has been taken up by the video games. And so I've just been... the funny thing is, like, you can find the walkthroughs for different parts. So if there's something that's hard, like a puzzle you need to solve, they navigate each other. Like, one was like, okay, turn to the right, turn to the left, climb up the thing, look in there, there's the chest, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I get, so I'll sit there and I'm just trying to send memes to you or whatever, and it's like, hey, look up the shrine, blah, 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 tell me how to get through it. I'm like, damn it, I'm a co-pilot, I don't even get to play. So, but yeah, I'm like, I'm behind on a lot of stuff, I need to catch up, and, you know, so, but that's where I've been.
And since the last time we talked, just catching up isn't that difficult anymore, because with the number of streaming services catering to the horror aficionado, it's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of stuff.
I was going through stuff on Tubi last night, and they've got just all kinds of bangers you can watch on there, man. It's pretty cool. It was, the only thing is, I caught myself doing this last night. I can't remember what movie it was, but I'm going through and I start watching a movie, and I'm like, why the hell am I streaming this? I got the VHS and the DVD right fucking there. What am I thinking right now?
So, yeah.
But, yeah, there's so much out there now, so.
But live music is back.
Yes.
That's something crazy that I, you know, that was always a big part of my life, and then when it went away, I really, really missed it. So now it's coming back, and
it's coming back with a vengeance too, dude.
Like,
it's
all these bands insane. Have broke up. They're all back together now.
The Cold Chamber, like I was just telling you about, they actually during the show that when we were there, he was saying that Sick New World, the music festival, got them back together, like convinced them to go ahead and do a show again. But I felt so old, dude, because we're in the crowd. He did a couple of songs, and he was like, who here seen Cold Chamber before? You know, a few of us screened, and then who out there? This is the first time y'all see this play, and like 90% of the crowd started screaming. I was like, damn.
Yeah, but when did they break up?
It's been like 20 years.
Yeah, they broke up a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been like 20 years now.
Yeah. I saw Violent Femmes the other night, and they haven't played out in a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had, I mean, there was only three of them, but they've had lineup changes and stuff throughout the years. But yeah, that's one of those that I'm sure that they've come through and played multiple times. I was just never on my radar. Right. I've always liked them, just never thought. But whenever the tickets went on sale, I was like, hell yeah, like, sold. I'm in, you know. And same thing with The Cure, you know, like, saw them the other night.
I hate that I missed that show. It killed me, but by the time they announced it, I already had plans.
Yeah, but you were on the other side of the country. Because that was the same
weekend. The same weekend, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then The Cure, which, you know, we're not dating this one specifically, I don't think, but today's like International Goth Day.
So it was yesterday,
You know, so just so you know, like, there's lots of cool Morticia pictures on the internet and stuff. And it's the eve of summer right now. It's getting hot, it's getting buggy.
You know what today is, by the way, which I have no idea why it's in my calendar, but a reminder popped up today. Was this is the day in history that Axeman murders began.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that pretty cool? I have no idea why it's in my calendar, with a reminder to let me know today is the day the Axeman of New Orleans began his murder spree.
And so how long was the murder spree before he said, if you everybody plays jazz, I won't kill?
It wasn't quite 2 years. It was like a year and a half or something like that.
Yeah. He's like, hey, if everybody just plays some jazz.
At this time, we're good. Well, I'm just about done with this one. God. Good times.
But yeah, so it's funny because the Cure, right? So there's also my older daughter's first major concert. Like, I've taken her to small shows, but this is her first arena show with a national act that was, you know, big deal. And I was like, hey, you want to go see The Cure? She's like, yeah, love The Cure. I was like, okay, this is what I tell her. And anybody that's going to go see The Cure ever, The Cure plays all of their hits. like all the songs that you know from the radio, they do play them. But they also play a lot of stuff that's like deep tracks off of their records that are like for the old school fans, mm-hmm. right? And so this was a few months ago, like, if you know, they've got two records basically. They've got a lot of live records. I've got three of them. Listen to these. These are the songs that they're going to play. They might not play all of them, but this is the majority of what their set's going to be, because right. this is what. And she, you know, she didn't do that. So then, like, they play for almost 3 hours. She recognizes like five songs. She's kind of like, she's like, well, you know. So anyway, then they play for like 3 straight hours, and I'm just blissed out because I, you know, they played 4 new songs that I don't know because the record's not out. So mm-hmm. there's no way for me to know them because the record hasn't come out yet. But other than that, I know every note, every word. So then I was talking to Andy, and he said the same thing. He's like, man, he's like, I knew like the back half of stuff, but you know, the whole middle part, I had no idea. I'm kind of like, you know, it's like, it's all out there.
Right,
like,
yeah. Well, the whenever that Cure cover band played at Wildcatter last year, which was Boys Don't Cry is the name of the band, they're incredible. I love that the lead singer looks just like Rob Smith, but he looks just like Rob Smith now.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like young Rob Smith. He looks like old Rob Smith, like he would look right now, today. And they ended up playing a fucking, you know, 3.5-hour set.
I mean, there's a lot of material.
They let them play past. You know, normally, Wildcatter shuts down the outdoor concerts at midnight. They let him keep going until like 12:30, 12:45, because he was just going into so many deep cuts that. And Andy was like, they have this many songs? I'm like, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They got a lot of shit, so.
Well, and for fans of The Cure, casual fans of The Cure, whatever, The Cure started at the end of the 70s. And if you look at their albums, like, they recorded, like, at least one record per year until 1986.
Right.
And so in some cases, they had two. And then in 87, I guess, was it 86, 87, something like that, they released the compilation, the Staring at the Sea, like the singles compilation. And then right after that, Kiss Me came out, and then Kiss Me had Just Like Heaven, and that made them super famous.
Yeah.
And so then their albums got more in depth, in production heavy, you know, so Disintegration, The Wish. So they didn't come out with the same frequency.
Right.
But even Wish, they did a 30th anniversary reissue of that record, and the record, the CD anyway, came with 2 discs of B-sides and tracks that were not on the record, right. that were not originally released, and have never been released before. But they had like 3 albums worth of material to go on to that one. And so they've got a shitload of songs. I mean, they've got an album or two extra for every album they made. I mean, that's some material, you know? So 40 years, though, man. That's a long time of...
It's a long run.
Yeah.
But well worth it. I mean, they're amazing. I was telling somebody yesterday that the difference between Morrissey and Rob Smith is that both of them are assholes and just say what the fuck they want to say. But Rob Smith actually appreciates his fans.
Yeah. Well, and I've always
been generally a nice guy.
Like, yeah. I've always been a fan of the Smiths as well.
I love them to death, but Morrissey's a dick.
He is. And that, I think that's kind of where the... Like we mentioned before, like kind of when I saw like the Marilyn Manson, Rob Zombie, they're like, they're very in the same genre. They're got that shock rock. They got the character and the makeup mm-hmm. and the explosive shows. But Marilyn Manson took himself quite a bit more seriously than Rob Zombie ever did. You know, so, right. so, and this, I think the same thing with Morrissey is Morrissey has a superiority complex.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to other musicians, and especially
other people in general.
Yeah, just people in general. He's got a chip on his shoulder about life, which is strange because he's incredibly successful in life, You know, you sing, you can only sing about like not catching a fair break for so long before you're like, well, dude, you're a freaking millionaire many times over. What's your deal?
But they're just another just set of amazing artists. I think I told you on the phone the other day, I passed by Olivia's bedroom the other day, and she's singing There's a Light That Never Goes Out. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that girl so much. So,
right?
Made a promise the next time. It's amazing how many tribute bands I listen to, but I told her the next time that the Morrissey tribute band plays, we'll make sure to go at a venue where kids can go. We'll make sure to go check it out and stuff. So she's looking forward to that. I said, don't think we're ever going to see Morrissey in concert though, because he won't show up.
Well, he's in trouble. Did you hear about what happened recently with this whole shtick? He pissed somebody off, but he had an album finished in the can, ready to be released. And Capitol Records shelved it and then cut his contract. And then one of the guest artists, and it's not, she's not like Taylor Swift level, but she's in that same like pop star sort of, she demanded that they take her vocals, like her guest appear, like her backups, off the record if it's ever released. And so then Morrissey went on social media bitching about how like they're all just pushing down on him, and I'm like, it takes a lot for them to shelve an album that's already been recorded. I mean, the least they can do is release it without promo,
right?
But to just put it on the shelf and then
not make anything from it,
not make anything from it, and then release the artist from their contract without any kind of fanfare, like, you piss somebody off. Run in your mouth, bro.
It's not surprising with him though at all. Speaking of music, you know, I never realized that this occurred, but for whatever reason, well, I don't know what reason, somebody had mentioned, somebody was talking about what they'd like to see for the lineup next year for Sick New World. Somebody brought up Limp Bizkit, and I was like, I haven't listened to fucking Limp Bizkit in forever. Let me throw them on. So listen to some old Limp Bizkit tracks, and a track pops up. I don't remember the name of the damn song, but Hot Dog Water. You know what song I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they have all these lines about Trent Reznor. So I was like, what the fuck is this? So I look up, and apparently they had like some serious beef. And Fred Durst, the dude just comes up with some epic bullshit. Okay, so they had this huge beef, don't like each other, can't stand each other. So Fred Durst actually threw some Trent Reznor lines in this song, to where Trent Reznor is now a co-writer of a fucking Limp Bizkit song. And he's listed in the credits of the song as co-writer of Hot Dog Water.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome. He did it just to fuck with him.
Did he get paid?
Yeah. He get paid more, which isn't a bad deal, but just to fuck with him, he made him a co-writer of the damn song.
That's hilarious.
That is awesome, too.
That's one of those things where you kind of, looking back, I remember when I was a kid and my dad would talk about bands like, you know, the Beatles or the Stones or whatever, doing stuff, saying stuff, breaking up, getting back together, you know, whatever. And you think, oh man, that's way off in the distant past, you know. Whereas when he's telling me this, like in the 80s, it happened like 5-10 years before.
Right.
Now, you know, like Limp Bizkit has not been around for like 20 years maybe. I mean, time has passed. Time has
big
gone
time.
By. I was never a fan of them when they were popular. Just, I mean, I thought they were douchey.
Some of the stuff was catchy. It was fun music and everything. You know, I was stuck on her offshore rig, you know, watching fucking WWF wrestling all the time. So rolling would play all the fucking time. So
right.
It was like, they had a couple of catchy, just like when Kid Rock first came out, he had a couple of catchy songs. So you listen to the rest of it, it's just terrible. And you wonder what you were thinking, but.
So I had a trivia thing at work. It's like, oh, tell a story about something that, you know, about yourself that nobody else would know. And I was like, did I ever tell you the story about the time I got, like, cussed out by Kid Rock twice in one day? So my old company, we'd have a national meeting in Vegas every couple of years. Uh-huh. And at the end of it, so on Thursday night, Friday would be a travel day, Thursday night, they'd have a big party, and it would be open bar. They'd feed us, open bar, and then we'd have a national act as entertainment. So over the years, we had like David Lee Roth one time. We had Lenny Kravitz, which was by far the best because he was just amazing. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it's like 2,500 people. So it's a big room, but it's still a conference room in the Venetian in Vegas. Yeah. Right? So it's like, it's intimate, but it's still a lot of people. And last year I went. Anyway, Kid Rock was our musical guest. Yep. And I've not now, nor have I ever been a Kid Rock fan, but you find yourself standing next to management, and it's hard to just kind of be like, well, I'm out. You know, I'm going to go.
You got
to
go along.
You know, you got to hang around for a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets up, and he starts playing, and he plays he's playing his songs, and he's a multi-instrumentalist, so he's playing guitar, bass, and drums, and keyboards, and DJ scratching, and just everything. And I'm really like, oh, you know, it's pretty impressive. Well, he starts, somewhere along the line, he starts getting pissed at the sound. The sound's not working out for him. It sounds fine in the audience, but I guess his monitors or whatever were off. And he starts cussing, and he starts yelling at people. And finally, he gets pissed, and he throws his keyboard down, like, knocks it over. And then, like, as he's walking off the stage, he quits, like, mid-set. I mean, they paid him a shitload of money for a private gig. But he quit mid-set, and smashes his keyboard. As he's walking off the stage, he stops and, like, right at me, like, flicks.
Like,
flicks,
you're the sound guy.
He flicks the bird at me.
You look like a sound guy.
Right. But he totally just, and so, like, it couldn't possibly be personal because it's dark. He's on stage looking into the crowd. I'm among, like, 2,500 other people, but it's very much like eye contact bird. And so I'm like, whatever, man. Maybe he saw, like, one of the booking people in the crowd, too, or something. I don't know. But I don't know why he's pissed. But anyway, show's over. About an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I'm down in the casino hanging out drinking with some friends. And a buddy of mine's like, hey, man, Kid Rock's over there. Check it out. You look, and he's down there. Like, he's got his hair up in a bun. And he's, like, got a row of slot machines. And he's got them stanchioned off with security on either end so he can play by himself without
being bothered. Yeah.
And so we're sitting there just looking down the aisle. It's like, oh, shit, that's Kid Rock. And he's playing slots like a grandma, you know? So a couple of folks are trying to, like, sneakily get a picture with their phone or whatever. I don't give a shit about Kid Rock. Motherfucker looks up, looks down the aisle. He's like, hey, you know, whatever. It's like, get the fuck out of here. And I already told you to fuck off to earlier. And I was like, the fuck did I do? I didn't do shit to you, Kid Rock. Sorry, man. It's like, maybe you heard me talking about not liking Kid Rock over his shoulder. Like, maybe he was standing behind me and I didn't know it. But yeah, it's like, screw you, Kid Rock. The same trip, the same friends I was with that were trying to take pictures of Kid Rock, my friend Mike, he lives in Milwaukee, he got himself kicked off an airplane because he was trying to talk to Coolio, and Coolio thought he was drunk and told him to get the kick, like, called people and were like, this drunk guy's bothering me, and got Mike bumped off the plane.
Jesus, dude.
So, like, at the airport, get a text message, like, in the group text, Mike is like, man, fuck Coolio. I'm like, dude, it was Kid Rock. He's like, no,
Kid Rock was yours.
Yeah, Kid Rock just got me kicked off my plane. I'm like, oh, shit. So, yeah. You know, sometimes you have brushes with celebrity and it's awesome. Other times,
not so good.
Well, it still makes for good stories.
Oh, yeah.
You got some stories with the horror film festival and the celebrity is going nutso sometimes.
Yeah, we got a couple of incidents that.
You're like, oh, hey, it's that person from that TV show. And then that evening, you're like,
So you going to try to make Comicpalooza this year, or?
I am not going to make Comicpalooza. I've double booked. Plus, the prices went through the roof.
Yeah.
$80 a day for a single day.
Yeah.
No, actually, when it comes to collecting collectibles and all that, strangely enough, I kind of hit what I'd call like a natural end. Like, I found myself you know, at Andy's store, and I'm just kind of browsing. I'm looking for stuff. You know, not looking for stuff, looking at stuff. Uh-huh. And after, you know, go down to Super Happy or whatever, and I'm just, and nothing really, I just don't, I'm just not, there's nothing that pops out that's like, oh, I have to have
right.
it. And so, you know, I've got all, everything still in my office and everything's up and everything. But when it comes to like a Comicpalooza, I'm like, I'm going to pay $80 plus parking plus food for one ticket. And if I go, I have to take at least one of the kids, you know.
Right.
And if I take one of them, then I have to take the other one. That's a very expensive walkthrough.
You know? Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was excited to see Terry Brooks, the writer, because mm-hmm. I've read all of his books and they're amazing. I've never been the one autograph, the one person I did want to meet was Carl Urban, but he canceled. Because Carl Urban's one of those that just no matter what he does, he's just awesome.
Yeah,
he's
when he looking plays, forward to seeing him.
Yeah, and I'm a huge fan of his. You've seen that Judge Dredd with him in it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, like I like the Stallone Dredd, but Carl Urban nailed it.
Yeah,
like,
he crushed it. He's definitely so good.
Camp not gonna make Comicpalooza, Houston Horror Film Festival. Unfortunately, can't make Frightmare this year, but we should probably plan on a road trip for next year.
That would be cool.
That would be fun.
Just as long as it, of course, dates this year coincided with Comicpalooza, so that kind of fucked it up for me. But you know, back on Comicpalooza's ticket pricing. So I've been at a meeting this past Saturday. You know, I remember back in the days when Comicpalooza would be like 70, 80,000 people that would show up. And we're going through the numbers from last year. And they're showing that they had 50,000 attendance last year, which is significantly lower than what, you know, we've had during the heyday.
Mm-hmm.
But last year was the beginning of the ticket increases, the price increases. And so now I'm thinking, okay, they've actually figured that they could, if they raise prices, they're only going to lose a certain percentage of attendance. So why not just bump up prices, have lower attendance, still make the same money with lower overhead? You're not spending as much money on a lot of different, you don't have to have as big of a floor.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference. And I honestly think that that's what they're looking at.
I mean, it's,
they're just like, the reason they went down to a two-day show, they realized the same number of people are going to come out. Why bother? We don't have to pay for an entire day of rental.
Right. Well, and that's fine. I mean, I don't. Went on a school trip with my daughter to Six Flags the other day, and same thing. She's like, man. She's like, everything's expensive. You know. She's like, why does it cost so much?
Because you're
like,
a captive audience. And
like, well, I was money. Like, well, babe. Yeah. The thing is, I was like, there's a balance between like how many people can fit on a ride. So if you got a roller coaster and it can hold 20 people and you got 100 people in a line, you know, like that flows through. You got 300 people in the line, people are going to start getting mad.
Yeah.
And if you have that all over the park, then the majority of your day is spent waiting and you're frustrated. So they raise the prices because that's the only way. They can't put more cars on the roller coaster.
Right.
They can raise the price and have less people show up so that the people that do pay to get in have a good time.
And you still have the same amount of money.
And you still have the same amount of money. I was like, I don't really, their strategy's fine. I just can't.
Like, it just sucks for the fans.
It sucks for the fans and even.
It sucks for the vendors. That's the ones that I worry about the most. It sucks for the vendors, fewer people.
Yeah.
You know?
And unfortunately, because we had talked about it back whenever we were designing our events, there's too many similar vendors. There's too many people selling the same things.
Yeah.
To where it's not like the Renaissance Festival, which my wife will say, like, I don't need to go every year. I do like to go every year because I like to see the craftsmanship. I like to see the stuff that people make,
whether
it's you know, wood carving or metalwork or whatever. And I don't necessarily buy it, or sometimes I do, but I really enjoy seeing it. And it's worth the price of admission to come in and see that diversity of talent. At Comicpalooza for me, it's like if I'm not an autograph hound and they don't have comic creators anymore and the vendors are all the same, then I'll take my $80 to a local shop like Misfits or something, and then I get what I want for $80, and
I don't have to pay for parking.
Yeah, you know? Or $80 pizza, you know.
And you know, that's one thing I'm interested in seeing about Frightmare this year is they've moved into a convention center, and no more hotel pricing for beer and drinks. You know, things are going to be a lot more expensive for attendees. You know, it's not like, you know, the way it was before, you could put a bottle of liquor up in your room and take a break and go fix you a drink and come back downstairs. It's not like that anymore. So I'm really cute. And they sold out their Saturday passes, which I thought was interesting. They actually sold out already.
Wow.
For the Saturday single day passes. So I'm really curious to see how Frightmare goes down.
I mean, it's the first year in their new venue.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be growing pains. I'm sure there's going to be things that are much better, and there's going to be things that are just inevitably worse. There's no way everything can be perfect.
Right.
But I do think that they have a track record of paying attention to things that don't go well and fixing them the next year.
Yeah.
You know, they pay attention when people complain, and which is not everybody does.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that's, and Frightmare's still, as far as, you know, they're the castle on the hill as far as horror event goes.
Yeah.
You know, they're amazing and always have been. So I'm pretty sure that they'll pull through. Even if they have some growing pains in the new venue, they're gonna do well.
Right.
And I root for them. And I love the fact that Lloyd himself comes on and talks to people on you know, when people have questions or concerns, and he's
out there.
He's out there, and he's approachable. So that's golden, you know.
It makes a huge difference, trust me. It definitely does.
So your little, our little venture, and then talking to the other guys or whatever, now the Houston Horror Film Festival has turned into quite the monster.
Yeah.
Literally.
We're on Wikipedia now. If you look up horror convention on Wikipedia, it lists like notable horror conventions in the United States, and we're on that list now, which is interesting.
That's badass.
But yeah, it's definitely become a monster, that's for sure. It's the last year was just insanely huge, and this year is just showing that it's going to be more of the same. So
I put it on my calendar this year, because last year I got gaffled. So I felt, I was like, man, like, this sucks. But I mean, I had a fun trip.
Right.
But you know, like, it was like, does it have to be this weekend? But
now we still have 10 more guests we got to announce next week, I think.
Where are you gonna put them? I mean, I've been to that hotel. And
we honestly cut vendor spaces back a little bit to be able to fit everybody, and I kind of did a redesign on everything that we're doing, but I got new layouts and everything. But we didn't cut a lot of vendor spaces back, but we did have to cut a few back just because we were going to have 35 guests all together this year. So yeah, it's going to be a pretty wild show, man. And just, you know, with vendors, we got 100 plus vendors right now, but we could have easily done 400 easily.
Mm-hmm.
If we had the room. That's the thing, is we didn't have the room for it, but it's been wild. Very, very, very wild. So
that's one that I'm looking forward to, by hook or by crook. I'll be there, helping out, shopping, you know, because that's our backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, basically, I mean, it's right down the street from your place.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. So, but yeah, it's shaping up to be. We have so many more announcements to go as far as content goes. Too, we still got to announce the selections for the film festival and stuff. And of course, we got some incredible entries once again this year for the film festival. So it's going to be definitely a lot of fun. So
that's badass. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild time.
You want to throw out the dates?
August 11th through the 13th at the Marriott West Chase in West Houston. You can look up the further details on social media and everything. Currently have about 20 plus guests announced, and like I said, have about 10 more to go. So may have some surprises still coming. We're going to pull out of our back pocket, and we'll see how that goes. So.
All right. Well, what's next? What's next for us? What's next for you? What are we doing?
Okay, so, you know, what's interesting is kind of the
the push to get the podcast going again came from some of our friends that people may have heard from before. One, you know, Joe Denton, Andy Gonzalez, Boom, they all missed coming in on the podcast a lot. Joe was actually just texting me a little while ago. He knows that we're recording right now. So for those of you that follow me on social media and stuff, you'll be familiar with the West Side Ghoulies, who are me, Joe Denton, and Andy Gonzalez, just three big horror fans. And you guys know both of them from the podcast. They've been on here guesting with us before. And very knowledgeable about horror. They definitely have a love of horror. And they're ready to kind of crank something up again. So we're like, let's go ahead and give them a platform to where we can go ahead and start talking about all this crazy shit again. So
I can't wait. It's funny because, you know, you and I had talked about trying to figure out a day to get, you know, just get down, get it set up. Let's just do something. And then you posted that kind of teaser.
Yeah.
And, you know, it got all the likes and comments and everything like that. I was chatting with Meg and she's like, oh, you know, it's like, she goes, so what's the plan for the podcast? And I was like, I really don't have one. Like, I don't know. We're gonna get back, whether it's gonna be, you know, every week, every couple, in person, online, you know, if I'm involved in every one or if Scott sends me files to just post, I don't know. We're gonna figure this out. But we are gonna do a lot more community. Like, we were doing a lot of community then, but it's been 2 years. So
right.
Like, we're going to do a lot more community. We're going to do a lot more video. We're going to do more, you know, guests, you know, maybe some local celebrities, some writers, you know, business owners like we've always done in the past, and then showcase other people that have, you know, like people like Andy and Boom and Joe. They're like, hey, you've got an interesting take on a franchise or whatever. Let's talk about it. So I can't wait. But yeah, that teaser, she's like, it's been a while. Like, what's it? I was like, dude, I don't know. We posted that, and I was like,
what do we do now?
Yeah, we got a lot of people waiting for us to come back, so let's come back.
That's just it. People want to know what's going on, and what's cool is there's a lot fucking going on that we can share. And it's one thing we talked about is we'll be bringing more interviews because, you know, as things get bigger and bigger with the things that we're doing and with the Houston Horror Film Fest, horror pop-up markets, you know, stuff that we're doing with Wildcatter this year. The Halloween event is going to be ridiculous this year. By the way, we've got some new stuff we're adding to that, which is going to make it just fucking sick. But there's just, we've met a lot of people and made a lot of friends. And we'll definitely be bringing more interviews and stuff and more videos so you can actually watch some content on YouTube and on social media and stuff. So, because people seem to really enjoy seeing the videos. You know, my girlfriend says they're very photogenic. They might have something to do with it. I don't know. but yeah, we'll just be bringing you guys more of what you're used to and, you know, just kind of dressing it up a little bit more too. So.
And, you know, like I said, This is an audio podcast. We're gonna do audio and video. This one won't have video, but when we do, but let us know, you know, what you like, what you want to, you know, if you want to be a guest on the show, you know, if you're an independent filmmaker or if you are a writer or, you know, whatever, you know, maybe an actor or something that you want to get your stuff out there. Let us know. We'll be happy to schedule a. And it doesn't have to be in person. You don't have to be local. You know, we can talk to you anywhere in the world.
Right.
So just let us know. We'll be glad to set it up and make it work.
I definitely want to throw something out there too, because I'm not sure if you're going to go, but June 17th, are you going to be at our very good friends? All three of them are good friends of ours. We got Jay Mazur, we got Chantel and Dicey from the Sex and Horror Podcast. They're having their triple book release at Fortress Beer Works.
I've got
June
that.
17th.
I've got that on my calendar.
I'm taking the day off. Me and Melissa are going to be up there. And just definitely all of you out there, if you can make it out, that's going to be a really, really good time for some really, really great people that have been friends and supporters of ours for a long fucking time. So really great to see how well they're doing with everything.
Yeah, they're cranking.
They definitely, anybody deserves it, they definitely do, so.
But yeah, that might be our next big thing.
There's a couple things that, you know, I'm sitting here just thinking about other stuff. But yeah, that could definitely be it. Just a little something from over there with Dicey and Chantel and Jay, for sure. And then we got our friends Daniel over at Misfits. He's about to open up a bigger and better shop right now in the Heights, right not far from Raven Tower, as a matter of fact. So his grand opening date right now is set for July 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
And so, Super Happy's moving as
Super Happy's going to be moving as well. You know, that's what, so much has happened. So many of our friends are just doing great, and it's pretty awesome to see.
That's so rad. Always love it when people follow their passions and the community makes good, you right. know? It's one of those things whenever you're like, hey, I did a thing, and everybody's like, that's great. And then that's all you ever get.
Right.
When people actually show up and they shop your store, when they come to your booth, when they talk to you, and you know, be a part of things, it's wonderful.
And it's the biggest thing, you know, you want to see everybody do really great. I had a message from somebody the other day that they were like, hey, are you guys doing anything in November? I was like, no, we're not doing anything in November. Why? Why are you asking? Like, okay, because we were thinking about doing a market, horror-themed market out in around Baytown, which is a very underserved area. And they have Eastern Rim, but they don't have anything horror. There's nothing that goes on in that side of town. I mean, I go to Eastern Rim every year. That's a fucking drive, dude. You know, I got a hotel room one time because it was just
it's so far.
And they were like, cool, just wanted to make sure y'all weren't going to be hacked off. And I said, dude, I said, we are all about especially good people. You know, we love you guys. I want to see you do well. I'm not going to say who it is just yet because once they announce and everything, I'll start helping them promote and stuff. And I was like, anything you need, you know, just let me know. I appreciate you getting with us to make sure we didn't have anything going on at that time. But yeah, just, you know, I want to see everybody that's a good person do well. So,
and as far as that goes, I mean, we can kind of close with this because you and I, from the beginning, when we started doing this show, sitting in your house amongst the comics that you were selling and talking about what we wanted to do, not podcast-wise, but event-wise. Before we even started the podcast, we wanted to do the event. And we said, you know, we don't want to try to compete with Texas Frightmare. At that time, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, almost a joke, because there was no possible way we were ever going to compete with Texas Frightmare.
Right.
But it wasn't because of anything. It's because we genuinely like them and their event, and we want to attend it.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that when it comes to vendors, or it comes to talent, or it comes to guests, or not guests, but attendees, that we're not polluting the waters and like you said, pissing anybody off. Like, oh man, we had an event scheduled for that same day. Like, no, that's, you know, if it happens on accident because we weren't paying attention to the whole rest of the world, but, you know, but it's a big world, man.
There's a whole lot of pie out there to get people.
Room for everybody. And if you're paying attention and you see that there's a big dog, you just make sure, like you say, hey, are you scheduled? Are you doing something that day?
Yeah.
Let's
coordinate
it.
Make sure we're not competing against
each
other.
And then you might actually get support from that competitor that might be like, oh, okay, we'll throw you some clowns, or we'll throw you some vendors, or we'll throw you some talent, whatever. Because it is a great big world. And
there's plenty of pie for us all to have. I mean, there's no reason to compete with anything. It's like people will post shit and be like, you guys are bigger than Texas Frightmare. We delete that shit. You know, those are our friends. Don't say bad stuff about Texas Frightmare around us, because we want them to succeed just like we do. If you want to say something bad about Cult, fuck them. But
They're not.
Actually, I'm just joking. Just so you know, I've become very, very good friends with Lance and Shane from Cult. And I have nothing. Just those two guys, I have nothing but love for. They are amazing. They came to our event last year, and we had a nice little talk and everything. They're business partner. I don't care for it too much, but there's some good folks. I'm actually going to try to go to their Baton Rouge show. So
sweet. Well, I think, man, for a catching up episode, I think we've done well. Guys,
I'm so comfortable right now.
If you're like, man, these guys have been gone forever, and then they just came back and started talking about, you know, random shit. Yeah, that's what we've always done. We've always had a little structure. We'll have structure in the next episode. I don't know what that'll be. Once I hit the button here, we're going to talk about what we're going to do next. And we're going to figure out, get ourselves on a recording schedule, because that was what always worked, is because we had a schedule, yeah, and we stuck to it, and if it was raining or somebody needed a shit, we still stuck to it and made it happen. And then things just kind of fell apart schedule-wise, but now I think we're both in a place where we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes, just being available, getting it done. So if you like this episode, tell your friends. If you didn't, just wait till next time, because we'll have another one following up very soon. But we're back. We're excited.
We've been here. We're just, as LL says, don't call it a comeback. We've been here. We're just bringing everything. Catch all you guys up now. So
but we're looking forward to what the reboot is going to be. I think there's a lot of great stuff about to happen. So let us know what you think. Hit like, hit share. Let everybody know that your favorite podcast is back. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't. This is your show. Let us shape it. If you like more interviews, we'll do more interviews. If you like more sitting around bullshitting about nothing, then we'll do that too. We love Seinfeld. So, it doesn't have to be, this or that. It can be everything like it always was. So, love you. I think that's a good episode.
Keep it touch. Let us know what's happening.
Keep it scary.
Later.